Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jack and Sharon had been dating exclusively for months. In fact, love was in the air. The relationship seemed to be growing and going in the right direction. They had already talked about marriage and their future. They had even on a couple occasions taken a preliminary look at engagement rings when they were out shopping. Tonight they were out at their favorite place to eat when a group of Jack's old buddies walked into the restaurant, including an old girlfriend. Seeing Jack, this group just sort of gravitated over to his table, and something like an impromptu party broke out when they began a loud and lively exchange back and forth. The conversation between Jack and his friends, in fact, periodically erupted in laughter as each of them took turns telling stories about old college days. Sharon showed interest, even though most of the things they said were either inside jokes or references to people she had never met. And Sharon felt very uncomfortable every time Jack's old girlfriend would look her over and then look away and rejoin the conversation and the laughter. Well, after nearly 10 minutes of this, Sharon gently nudged Jack, hoping that he would take the hint to introduce her. And Sharon was very relieved when she heard Jack interrupt the laughter long enough to say, "Hey guys, let me introduce you to Sharon." And then you all know what comes, the fateful moment when Jack completed that sentence with the words, "My friend." "Let me introduce you to Sharon, my friend." Now at that point, the group began introductions to her, but Sharon really heard nothing else after that. Sharon only heard, "Let me introduce you to Sharon, my friend," as it rung in her ears. In fact, it was the most awful sound that she had ever heard. Soon after that, the group moved on as their own table opened up in the restaurant, leaving Jack and Sharon alone. And tears flowed, and Sharon buried her face in her napkin, and she sobbed as she remembered other occasions when Jack had done much the same thing. Now, she had always in the past dismissed those denials of their relationship in public as sort of social awkwardness on his part, but now she began to see there was a pattern to these denials. Now she began to see that Jack's failure to ever acknowledge their relationship in front of others meant that their relationship was not what she thought it was. His hesitancy to acknowledge their relationship in public meant to her that she could no longer trust Jack or believe him when he declared his love for her in private. Now, applying that to the Christian faith, I know that there is not one of us out there who wears the Christian name who would intentionally ever think of denying our Lord in front of others if it came to that. But how many of us, like Jack, have had the opportunity to introduce Jesus to our friends and tell our true relationship to him, and we simply didn't? How many times could we have declared our relationship with Jesus in public, and yet we haven't? Sometimes we must admit to ourselves that we've been guarded. We've been hesitant to reveal our Christian identity, at least in certain social settings. And even though we can squirm around it, doesn't that really amount to a denial of our Lord? When we hide the fact that we are his followers so that our secular culture will not think less of us? How does it make our Lord feel for us to tell him in the privacy of our own hearts that we love him, and yet remain unwillingly to publicly acknowledge our relationship to him? Don't you think that, like Sharon, it must rip Jesus' heart out when we are too embarrassed to acknowledge our relationship to him in public or among our friends? How will people ever know about Jesus or our faith in him if we never tell them? In fact, I know this is harsh, but our silence about Jesus in our lives outside the church raises serious questions about the sincerity of our faith and our commitment to the Lord. And yet, by contrast, no one could ever mistake Jesus' commitment to us or his burning desire to have a relationship with us. In fact, so strong was his love to save us that Jesus would struggle under the weight of our sins on the cross. So intense is his love for us that he literally endured hell on the cross as he suffered the wrath of God in our place, a wrath which should rightly have fallen on us. So deep was his desire that we be united with him that he absorbed all of God's righteous anger against our sins just so that he could reconcile us to the Father. And it was through his life on earth that Jesus has now created this good relationship that we enjoy with our Father in heaven. So that through Jesus and through faith in him, we can now stand before our God unafraid and unashamed. You know, it's because of Jesus that this all happens, that we can be certain that we are going to inherit heaven and all the other blessings like faith and forgiveness, and all as a free gift. And he started loving us long before we showed any sign of interest in him. In fact, until we were brought to faith as sinners, we completely ignored God. Left to ourselves, mankind is constantly turning away from God, either ignoring God or denying his existence. And it was for this reason that Jesus would say to his disciples, "You have not chosen me, no, I have chosen you." And so very much like a man would pursue a woman, Jesus has pursued us to win us to himself. As a man might introduce himself to a woman, Jesus has introduced himself to us through the gospel. And he has won our hearts by this amazing sacrifice he made on the cross, by which he cleanses and covers and cancels our sin and our guilt. And so we find ourselves strangely drawn to Jesus and loving him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is not afraid to declare his love for us. He declared it on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them." He declares his love for us even now in heaven, as he speaks as our Savior on our behalf, as our advocate before the Father and before the holy angels. He publicly declares his love for us every time that you and I come to church to hear the word of his grace or to receive his sacrament. Yes, when it comes to relationships, Jesus has never been shy or slow or hesitant in any way to openly proclaim his love for us. In fact, that's what the gospel is. The gospel is the very proclamation of his love for us. Just think about it. The cross declares his love for us. Baptism declares his love for us. The Lord's Supper is a public declaration of the love that he has given and shed for us. Jesus loves us more than we have ever been loved, more intensely and more completely than any other form of love. No one loves you like Jesus loves you. And he is completely unafraid to acknowledge his love for us. A man can say that he loves a woman, and many men have said that. But truthfully, until he proposes to that woman, a woman will always have her doubts. And you know, it's really not until their wedding day when a man publicly proclaims his love before God and all the assembled guests up at the altar that a woman can completely trust his intentions. In the same way, Jesus publicly declares his love for us as he desires to unite with us in holy baptism. He makes vows to us in baptism to forgive us, to love us, to save us, and to remain faithful to us. In baptism, we are wed to Christ. We unite with him in the power of his death and in the hope of his resurrection. Because of these promises made to us by him in baptism, we now share in all that our husband rules over and possesses.